All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. I'm going to read the last few verses of this chapter, but if you will notice, in the first part of the chapter, this was a busy day, to say the least. This was a long, busy day. And the Lord was with the people all day long. He ministered to them all day long, preaching, teaching through parables. If you look at verse 2, it says, "And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." And then you'll notice in verse 34, it says, "And without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to the disciples." So it's been a long day. And now notice, if you will, in verse 35, it says, "And the same day when the even was come," when evening was come, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." So they're in trouble. All right? I mean, there's just no other way to put it. And I wonder about those guys in them little ships. I wonder what happened to them. You know, it doesn't say, does it? But it says that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Now notice, it wasn't just calm. There was a great calm. And you know, I can imagine after this storm, any calm would have been a welcome calm, don't you think? But John Mark says that there was a great calm. "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him?" All right, I want to speak to you tonight on this night that they were on the sea and a storm came up. So I'm going to entitle the sermon tonight, this evening, "The Night of the Storm." The Night of the Storm. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for your blessings on us. Thank you for the wonderful bus report and folks getting saved. And Lord, thank you for Ray's testimony and folks getting saved. And Lord, I pray, thanking you for the music that reminds us that our Savior is always there. And Father, how appropriate is that song with what I'm about to preach on? And so thank you for working that out, preparing our hearts to realize this great truth that you are the master of the sea. You are the one that can calm the storm, no matter what the situation. So, Father, thank you for your blessing on us this evening. And I pray that you will bless now as we preach the Word of God. May our hearts be stirred and challenged. And, Father, remind us of your goodness and of your grace to us. So bless now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. The Sea of Galilee is one of the most beautiful places on this planet. It is just absolutely amazing. The Jewish rabbis used to say that God created all of the seas, but the Sea of Galilee was the chosen sea. That's what they called it, the chosen sea. It is one unique place. It is kind of an oval shaped body of water. It's about 13 miles long, and it's about 7 miles wide at its widest spot. And it is surrounded on all sides by these big, tall, sloping mountains. They rise about 2,000 feet on either side, especially on the eastern side of the sea. And to the south is the Jordan Valley, and the Jordan River comes out of comes into the Sea of Galilee there at Capernaum, and then it goes out of the Sea of Galilee and winds its way all the way down the Jordan Valley down to the Dead Sea. Now, to the north of the Sea of Galilee, you can, on a clear day, easily see the snow-capped, snow-covered peaks of Mount Hermon. And the Jordan River comes out of the base of Mount Hermon and just comes right out of the ground and makes its trek down towards the Sea of Galilee and then down towards the Dead Sea. So it is. It was called by the rabbis the Chosen Sea. Now it is a chosen sea also because of the huge role it played in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. There are so many places mentioned in Scripture, and when you go over to Israel today, they will tell you, we think that this is the place, or we think this is the biblical spot, but there are really some places where we know it was the spot, but there are some other places where, we're close. We're close. It may not be exact, but it's close. But there is one place where much of our Lord's ministry happened, and there is no doubt at all that the Sea of Galilee today was the same Sea of Galilee that you read about here in the Bible. If you were to go over to Israel today and go to the Sea of Galilee today, you can be assured it's the same Sea of Galilee today that the Lord was on in this passage of Scripture when the storm came up. Now, you can go to Bethlehem and you can see a spot where the guide will tell you this may or may not be, and I choose to believe it's not, the place where Christ was born. You can go to two spots in Jerusalem, and depending on the denomination of the guide you have, they will tell you, oh, this is Mount Calvary. And then there are two spots where they will tell you this is where Christ was buried. But you can be assured that the Sea of Galilee is the same Sea of Galilee. It's the same Sea of Galilee, and it just keeps rolling on today as it did in the days when the Lord Jesus walked around its shores. The locals still go out and cast their nets and cast their lines, and those beautiful mountains still rise on all sides, and the same stars that shone down upon it 2,000 years ago still shine down upon it today. You take out of the New Testament the incidents in the life of our Lord associated with the Sea of Galilee, and a good part of the four Gospels will disappear. For you see, he seemed to dwell there in Capernaum. Jesus seemed to spend the majority of his time in Capernaum on the north shore of this sea. It was there where he worked many of his greatest miracles, and it was there where he called most of his disciples, and it was there where he preached most of his greatest sermons, and it was there where he walked on the water, and where he stilled the storm, and where he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. So the Sea of Galilee is crucial. Now, in our story that I just read for you, it's been a long and arduous day. For the entire day, the Lord Jesus has been teaching and preaching to great crowds of people. Huge throngs of people have gathered to hear what he had to say. There were people who came to him for healing for their bodies. And every minute of the day had been occupied by somebody needing something from the master's hand. But when the evening came, weary and ready for rest, Jesus said to the disciples as they entered into a ship, "Let us pass over to the other side." And Mark tells us that they all agreed, and they got in the ship and started across. And Jesus soon found a place to lay down, and he rested his head on a pillow of something. Was it fish netting? Was it rope? Who knows? But he lay down in the back of the boat and fell fast asleep. Now, let's make some parallels. Number one, like life, the Sea of Galilee can be calm one minute and then a raging storm the next. That's just like life, isn't it? I mean, the Sea of Galilee sits in a basin 600 feet below the level of the Mediterranean Sea. Think about that. 600 feet below the level of the Mediterranean Sea. So the colder winds rushing down from the mountains all around the sea meet the warm and balmy air in this basin that creates a stir and a commotion that can cause immediate and violent storms upon that sea. Just like with life, these storms can come out of nowhere. And isn't that just like how storms come to us? You see, folks, Peter, James, and John, they were professional fishermen, but even they were afraid as this massive storm began to stir and toss their boat like it was just a little toy. They would never have taken off had they suspected that it was going to storm. But that's what happens over there. It can just blow up in no time and storm in just a few minutes' time. And as it often does, the storm blew up with such intensity that they all feared for their lives and wondered how they would survive. The lightning flashes, the winds howl, the waves grow in intensity, and in a matter of moments, the disciples were wondering, what in the world are we going to do? Now, let me ask you, have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? And they look over at Jesus, and he's asleep. And I stopped right here, and I thought of Jonah for a moment. And how different was the sleeping of our Lord from the sleeping of Jonah? You remember Jonah's story? And Jonah slept because his conscience was dead. But Jesus slept because his conscience was clear. Jonah was the cause of the storm that shook his vessel, but Jesus was the secret of deliverance of his ship from destruction. So he just slept on. Now, this is the only time in all of the Gospels where we see the Lord Jesus asleep. You ever think about that? This is the only time we ever see him asleep. Every other time in the Gospels when we see him, he is teaching or preaching or healing or helping or rejoicing or walking or praying or agonizing or eating or drinking or dying for our sins or resurrecting from the grave. This is the only time we see him asleep. And finally, they wake him and they cried, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Man, what a subject for an artist. The awakened Savior standing majestically in the stern of the ship. Can you see him in your mind's eye? Calmly, he spoke to the elements and the wind and the waves instantly stopped. Instantly, folks. Instantly, the storm stopped. And then he spoke to the disciples and he calmed the storm that was within them. He looked at them and said, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So the first thing I want you to see is that just like the sea can be calm one minute and a raging storm the next, so it is with us. Now, second thing I want you to notice here, when that storm comes up, Jesus proves to us, just like he did to them, that he is the master of the sea. You see, he'll show you. I mean, as the disciples tried to digest what had just happened, they continued to row to safety, and astonished by what they had just seen, they looked at one another and said, once everything was calm, they said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and seas obey him?" Now, I've taught you this before, but it needs to be said again. That little phrase, look at your Bible, look at verse 41, where in the latter half of the verse, they ask this question, "What manner of man is this?" And that does not mean what kind of man. If you and I were to ask that question in our culture, in our language, in English, we would be asking, "What kind of? What kind of man is this that even the winds and seas obey his will?" But that's not what they were asking in their culture and in their language. What they were asking in their culture, in their language, is this: where does a man come from that even the winds and seas obey his will? Well, he doesn't come from around here. He comes from heaven, amen? Do you remember that little verse over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 where John asked the question, "What manner of love is this that we should be called the sons of God?" It's the same colloquialism and it means the same thing. Where does love come from that God could love a bunch of old wicked sinners like us? Where does love like that come from? Well, it doesn't come from around here. All right? Doesn't come from around here. No, it comes from heaven. And so, Jesus came from the Father, and the winds and the waves obeyed him because he's the one that created them. You see, he's the master of the sea. And as the storm that night broke over the calm sea, so storms break on us. But the same Christ who stilled the storm that night is able to command the wind and the waves that break upon us. Now think about it, folks. What is it that makes a storm? Well, it's nothing but the wind, right? It's the wind that makes the storm. If the wind never rose, the sea would always be calm. It is when the winds blow that the waves rise. And when the wind dies down, the waves die with it. And so it is the winds that bring our storms. But the disciples did the right thing when the storm hit. They awakened the Lord Jesus. In the storms that sweep over our souls, that is always the thing to do. Get the Lord's attention. By the way, folks, he's never far away from you. Never. And let him help. Don't forget, he's the master of the sea. It doesn't matter what tempest blows, the Lord Jesus can calm that storm. He knows how to calm the storm. There are so many things that can blow up a storm on the sea of life. Let me give you a couple from experience. There are many storms that can blow up on the sea of life. Number one, there's the tempest of fear. Don't forget, Jesus is the master of the sea. But there's the tempest of fear. This fear may take the form of worry or anxiety. And how common is this storm in our world today? We worry about the future. We worry about the present. We worry about declining health. We worry about our children. We worry about our job. We worry about everything. But when the storm arises in your heart, remember that there is deliverance available when you call upon the Lord Jesus, who is near. Then, secondly, there's the fear of sorrow and bereavement. Boy, this is a terrible storm that can hit you. You talk about a storm that can rise up in a moment's notice. That storm is a killer. I will never forget how devastated we all were when we got news of Brother Larry being called home to heaven. Boy, that was so sudden. That was just so sudden. When I got the call, I was just absolutely devastated. How sudden came that storm? I was preaching in Williamsburg, where they played a little league baseball. Williamsport, that's where I was. And I was driving home. When Fran called and told me that Larry had collapsed. And then she called me right back and told me that he was gone. He had gone to heaven. And I turned off somewhere. I don't even know where I was. And I turned off I was on the Interstate 81, and I turned, I don't know where I was, to be honest with you, and I turned off and ended up in some town, and I was calling Karen and trying to get a hold of her and tell her, and I tell you, talk about a sudden storm, boom, that just hit us. I mean, there was no warning, nothing, no announcement, there was no time to prepare, it just hits. And that's what happens. What do you do then? Well, what we had to do in the midst of that storm was the only thing we could do, and that was just call upon the name of the Lord and trust him. You just got to call upon the name of the Lord. Paul spoke to the Thessalonian church about those who have no hope. That means that they didn't have Christ. There was no hope of heaven, but he said, if you have Christ, you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. So when that storm hits, and dear friend, it will hit every one of us somewhere along life's road. And when it does, we have to rely and turn to the one who is in the boat with us, the one who will never leave us nor forsake us, the Bible says. And listen as he stands, holds out his hand, and declares, peace be still. Amen. That pain, that hurt, is probably the deepest pain and the deepest hurt that we as human beings are ever called on to bear. But even on that rough sea, the Lord Jesus is the master of the sea. You just trust him. Number three, I want you to think of the storm of anger and inner turmoil. Anger and inner turmoil. I mean, somebody has hurt you. Someone has wounded you. Someone has irritated you. Someone has wronged you or gossiped about you or even lied about you. And now you are stirred up, roiled within. Anger has now filled your soul. A couple of years ago, I was preaching down in North Carolina, and the pastor said, "Would you take some time and talk with this man?" And he told me a story, and I said, "Yes, I'll try and help him." And so I met with him and sat and listened to his story. And this man was a worker in this church. He was on the deacon board and was out running a bus and working on a bus and just doing a great job as serving the Lord in this church. And he got angry at some members of his own family over the way they treated him when an inheritance came through. And being the little brother, his older siblings took advantage of him. And oh, he was angry. I mean, bitter, bitter anger. And about 2 hours into talking with him, the Spirit of God directed us in such a way that I had this story open in front of us. And I looked at him and I said, "My dear brother, can you not hear the Lord saying to the storm within you, 'Peace, be still'?" And oh, it gripped his heart. You see, sometimes, folks, that's the only way to survive when the storm of anger arises in your heart. And then lastly, let me have you think about the storm of doubt. Oh, that's a terrible storm to get in. You see, that was what the disciples were asked. Or that's what the disciples asked of our Lord. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" You see, they doubted him. They doubted him. I mean, after all they had seen him do, now here comes a little storm, and they doubted him and looked at him and said, "Master, don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care?" That was them doubting that Jesus really cared for them. And in that hour, do what the disciples did and just awaken the Lord who is near you and let him stand up and speak peace to your soul. Just tell him, "Lord, I need your help here." And let the Lord calm that storm. I can imagine there are a lot of folks that'll be listening to this, either on the internet or on a CD or here tonight. And you have found yourself out on life's seas in the midst of a sudden storm. The truth is, folks, there are multitudes of storms that we have to face as we sail life's seas. But how encouraging to realize the Lord is there. The Lord is there. I mean, if you've been saved from your sin, the Lord Jesus has made you a promise, and he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Paul said it this way: "What can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus?" And then after listing an entire arsenal of things that the devil might use to get us separated from the love of Christ, Paul's bottom line is that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And I wonder how many of us tonight need the Lord just to whisper, "Peace, be still," to our hearts. Will you call out to the Lord tonight in the midst of your storm? Will you lift your hand and reach out to Him and say, "Father, Lord, can you help me?" And if you do, I promise you, folks, He'll calm the storm. He'll settle the winds, and He'll make the raging waves bow to His will. And He'll help you. As the master of the sea, He's just waiting on you to ask Him.